I was thinking a couple of days ago, asking God if there was anything that he wanted to say today, and I felt very much this passage come into my spirit, so I followed it through. Father, thank you that your word is powerful. Lord, it's our axis on which, Lord, we stand. It's the truth. Lord, it takes us where we need to be. Father, I thank you that you brought me up on the word, and thank you, Lord, that your word stands firm in my heart. Let it do so in all of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've given a title to today, and it's called Let Us Cross to the Other Side. And it's from Mark chapter 4. Reading from verse 35 to 41, if you want to follow it. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. I'm reading from the NLT translation. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat. It's a brilliant thing to do. Take Jesus in the boat with you. And they started out, leaving the crowds behind. But soon a fierce storm came up and high waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." Amen. I'm glad they do. And I'm glad that we have the authority invested in us that Jesus was also operating with. Amen. It's a familiar passage of scripture, but I just want to pass on a few thoughts that jumped out to me as I was looking at it yesterday. In verse 35, it says, towards evening, Jesus suggested to his disciples, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." The lake was the Sea of Galilee. Apparently, it's 680 feet below sea level and is surrounded by hills. And as the winds come over the hills, they often cause violent, unexpected storms. And such was the case here. When Jesus suggested crossing the lake, I believe he was fully aware of what was going to happen. Nothing takes him by surprise. God knows everything about you, every intimate detail. He knows where you are, what you're doing, what you're thinking before you even say a word. Now, does he know you? He certainly does. So if he knows that much, if he knows us so intimately, he knows what's coming up next. But he allowed it because he was going to take his disciples through a learning experience. Okay, who's been there? And then you get in there and you're screaming, "God, why is this happening to me?" And he said, "Just come aside a while and let's talk. You need to learn something by this experience." Sometimes he takes us out of our depth, very often the case. Sometimes it gets very scary, but we should never be afraid because God is with us. His statement, "Let us go to the other side," that statement contained all of the power necessary to overcome every obstacle to get them safely to the other side. His word inhabits the power that is needed to do what he said he's going to do. Amen. Words are powerful. We need to be careful what we speak, because it creates. We have that creative ability that God gave us. But they had all the power necessary in the statement that Jesus made, that they were going to the other side. It was a God plan, and therefore it could not fail. If God's called you, if God said that this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. And the devil will never defeat you. I know that also when God specifically called you to do something, that it may well be stormy. In fact, it will be stormy, because there's somebody who does not want you to succeed. He wants to bring you down. But God has said, remember this, that I am with you always. Never, ever quit. In verse 36, it says, so they took Jesus in the boat. If Jesus is in your life, if he's in the boat, you're unsinkable. Amen? You cannot be defeated. If God has commissioned you to do something, he's with you all the way, and you will arrive at your destination. In verse 37, it said, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Whenever you give your life to Jesus, or God gives you a promise, the devil will do everything imaginable to sink your boat. Always remember that. But never, ever focus on him. Focus on the word of God. Focus on God. Keep your eyes in the right place. The devil, he'll make you think a few things here, and I just sat and thought about this. And one of the things he'll make you think is, he'll try and rob you of your faith. He'll say, this isn't logical. Well, tell me, when has God's ways ever been our ways? Never. Isaiah 55 says, for my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. And so we need to just submit to God and say, God, you're in charge of this. You take me through this. Let me hear your voice step by step. It doesn't matter that it isn't logical, because your ways never make sense to man. Another thing he'll say to you, he'll say that you're not good enough. Well, here's your answer. John 3:16. Whosoever believeth on him shall be saved. You ask Jesus into your heart, you believe in him, and you are saved, and you're as good and righteous as your next person in the church saved with you. The devil will say, God's not going to listen to you. You're never out of his sight. And I love Psalm 36 and verses 5 and 6 in the Message translation. And this is what the Message says. God's love is meteoric. His loyalty is astronomic. His purposes are titanic. His verdicts are oceanic. Yet, in all his largeness, nothing gets lost. Not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks. I was thinking, Jill, I was talking to her the other day, and she was saying that she'd had the decorator in and he'd done a great job, but as men do, he'd left the floor a mess in the kitchen. And she was ringing around family members to see if somebody could help her out and come and clean the floor. But she said there was no one and they were all busy. And she said, then the thought dropped into her mind, ring the lady who comes on a Tuesday to clean house for you, see if she can do it. Well, she actually lives in Bentley, I think, didn't she, Jill? But Jill thought, well, okay, I'll ring her. She rang her and, praise God, she was just at the top of the street. you know, before you call, I will answer. While you are yet speaking, I will hear. God is interested in the smallest detail in your life, not just the big things. Just invite him into everything, because he has the answer. And she came round and she whipped round the kitchen and did a beautiful job. You know, God knows. Nothing's too small. Another thing the devil says, he always loves to say this, see, nothing's changed. Nothing's happening. Has he ever said that to you, Joan? Yeah, he has to me. But you know, I was thinking about Daniel. Daniel was interceding for the nation because the nation had gone astray. Uh-oh, any bells ringing? And he was praying for the nation. And as he was praying, a heavenly being, it says, was dispatched immediately in response to Daniel's prayer. But this heavenly being was delayed for 3 weeks in the heavenly realms because the prince of Persia was fighting with him. The warrior angel, Archangel Michael, came to his aid, and he released him. You know, I think we ought to just look at that. It's in Daniel chapter 10, and it's verses, I want to read from verses 12 to 14. The messenger came to Daniel and he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit of the prince of Persia has been blocking my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to your people in the future." The spirit realm is extremely active. It's never still. And we need to know our authority in Jesus, because a lot of what we see in the natural is not where the real battle is. The real battle is in the spirit realm, in the heavenly realms, where the principalities and powers are doing warfare with the angels, and our prayers are extremely powerful. Praise God. You may, you know, God might give you a word of scripture, and the devil will say to you, "Don't be ridiculous. How can just quoting a verse of scripture physically alter your situation?" Well, I don't know. But I do know that it does. Amen? Because the Word of God is living and active. Yes. It's not just a blank page. It's not just words on a page. This book is living and active. And when we speak it, then as our words go out, the power of God begins to work and change our situation. I'm so glad. How many times has God changed situations for me? I can't count. But the very thing we need to do when we've got something up against us, we need to go to God and say, "God, what do you say?" And when you know what God says, you'll never be moved. I promise you, when you keep your eyes on what God says, you will see a miracle take place. He will always answer you. When the word goes into action, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 13, "Whatever you ask for or declare in my name, I will do it." Yeah, he's given us the power to speak the word. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 19 says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind," which means whatever you stop on earth, "will be stopped in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The battles that we face are not physical, they're spiritual. When we become born again, we are spiritual beings and we're empowered to operate and move in the spirit realm. And our activity there, our prayers there, what we speak, the word of God in our mouths are all very powerful weapons to bring down the opposition in Jesus' name. The devil might say to you, well, it didn't happen for so-and-so, did it? You know? But in Matthew 17 and verses 20 to 21, in the NIV, it says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move.
Amen.
Amen. I've moved a few mountains by the word of God. Just use the word of God. It's there for our, it's there to bring us freedom, to set us free and to release us from the enemy. The word of God is the final authority on any situation that you face. Don't give an inch until you see happen what God has said. In verse 38, it says, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. That boat was being thrown all over the place. A storm blew up. It was crazy. How could Jesus sleep in that boat? I'm amazed. But you know, Jesus knew who he was. And he knew that the devil had no influence whatsoever in his life. He knew the devil could not tip him out of that boat and destroy him. And he knew that if while he was in the boat, everybody else was safe too. So don't be alarmed. You know, the disciples had the wrong focus and they were shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? They weren't focusing on the fact that Jesus was in the boat. They were focusing on the storm. How often does the devil get you focusing on the storm? All the time. I've been there, yeah, perhaps. He's an irritant all the time. But you've got to stand against him. You've got to say, no, God says, God says, God says, until it just focuses. Your whole focus is there. And I was thinking, you know, I never dare do this, and I would never dare do it. But just imagine when you see these people walking on a tightrope across a ravine, and they've got this pole, aren't they? And they're balanced. Well, how do they get from A to B? Because they keep their eye on the destination. If they were for 1 minute to look down or to look back, they'd be a goner, without a doubt. It's crucial that we keep our eyes on this word. Don't give the devil an inch. The devil's a master at performing theatrics and to create fear in you. Fear is the weapon the devil will use against you. He has no weapons whatsoever to work with. His only weapon is fear, and he has to create that in you so that he can draw it to work against you, to destroy you. That's what he wants to do. That's why Jesus is constantly saying, fear not, do not be afraid. If you get nothing else out of this message, get this. Never, ever be afraid. Always go to the word of God and ask him what to do. And he'll give you the answer. And when he's given you the answer, stay with it. Keep your focus on what God has said. You know, the devil's fear, it's his all-purpose tool. And it comes along with attachments such as anxiety, stress, doubt, Don't buy it. Don't buy it. Listen to what God says. God's manual for living, for wise and successful living, is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 26. This is from the NLT. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom. God's word is wisdom. The one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you can desire can compare with her. She offers you a long life in her right hand, and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths, and all her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. By wisdom the Lord founded the earth, and by understanding he created the heavens. By his knowledge the deep fountains of the earth burst forth, and the dew settles. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They're like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear, and you will lie down and sleep soundly. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. I've used that scripture when everything's gone pear-shaped, or it seems like, God, where are we in all this? And God has taken me to Proverbs 3. And when I've read it, such peace has come into my heart that is beyond understanding. You know, Andrew says, he calls this the fanatic in the attic. And he goes crazy, doesn't he? When there's something amiss or something you don't have the answer to, the devil's going crazy. Nah, yak, 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 yak. But we have to tell the fanatic in the attic to be quiet, and we need to listen to the fella in the cellar. And that's your spirit. And the spirit man will calm you down. He'll bring the word of God to you. And he'll give you that assurance that everything is well. You've nothing to worry about. All is well. Jesus, he never let the devil draw him into any situation. When the disciples woke Jesus up, he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, "Be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm, and immediately the storm ceased. Jesus never got drawn into situations with the devil. He refused to allow him to speak. In John 14 and verse 30, Jesus said, "I will not speak with you much longer. For the ruler of this world, Satan, is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has no power over me, nor anything that he can use against me." Wow. You know, I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. The same thing applies. The devil has nothing to use against you, nothing that he can succeed with, because the greater one is in you. Amen. Jesus has overcome, we have overcome, we are in him and he is in us. And so that's why we will always overcome. And Jesus said to them in verse 40, then he said to them, his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Jesus was saying, why are you letting the devil push you around? You have more power than him. Use it. Amen. Use the power that God has given you. Use the word of God. It's the most foremost authority against the devil. He cannot stand against it. He cannot win when we stand against him with the word of God. And in verse 41, the disciples were absolutely terrified. You know, they'd seen Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle, but they still had no faith. It's possible to be in church and to see things happen and see miracles, but still have no faith. That's not where God wants you to be. God has a better plan for us. He wants a church that's doing what Jesus did. Amen? Amen. We need to be a church that's doing what Jesus did. The disciples said, who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? They'll obey you if you've got the confidence and the authority to know who you are and to speak to the situation. They'd been constantly with Jesus. They'd given up everything to follow him, but were not grasping that they had been given the same authority to deal with all the works of the devil in Jesus' name. You know, in this day and age, I know one thing, that nothing less than a church of signs, wonders, and miracles is going to get the attention of the unsaved. Healings, words of knowledge, miracles, discerning of spirits, words of wisdom, prophecy, faith, tongues, interpretation is what it's going to take to reach this current generation for Jesus. That's where God wants his church to be. And that has to be our goal. It thrills me that here we're a generous, loving church. We not only love to give financially, but also practically, as we've seen these past few weeks, in many different ways. But God wants to take us further spiritually. I know that. I know that for me. I know that for every one of us. He's given us the power for us to use, and he's saying, rule in the midst of your foes. There's many foes around us, there's many challenges. Every day when we're out at work, whatever we're doing, something is always coming against us. You've only got to look at the media, and we're very much unpopular at the moment. But hey, that's not fazing me. And I want somebody that is greater than anything the devil wants to try and stir up against me. But what I'm saying, church, is we need to be ready. We need to be out there knowing who we are and the authority that we've got, so that if it comes, you know, if something does come strongly against us, we will know how to rule in the midst of our foes. And I think God is saying to the church, come on, church, wake up. This is a battle that you can win in my name. And to win, we need to study the word of God. We need to know who we are and the authority that we've been given. And that's why every Wednesday we have prayer meeting at 4:30, followed by Bible study at 7. Because prayer meeting is a time when the body gets together and intercedes as a body for individuals, for the nation, for intake and the surrounding areas. And we do warfare in the heavenly realms and bring down those principalities and powers to bring an atmosphere of openness to the gospel, to make way for the gospel to be let loose in the neighborhood and beyond. And you know, and in Bible study, we become familiar with the word, and it says that the word will equip you for the ministry that God has called you to do. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, Andrew was talking about that earlier. We do. We need to be baptized in water. And I thank God for those who are going to be baptized in water. And I know when I was, it was the most powerful experience I've ever had. The Holy Spirit just came on me when they got me out of the, helped me out of the baptismal tank. And I couldn't stand on my feet. I was just like a drunk. But the power of God just came on me. And I thought, whoa, this is for real. And I pray that you have that same experience. It's absolutely marvelous because you feel his hand on you and you feel him touching you. And it's also tremendous to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because, you know, without him, we're useless. We can't do anything. So we all need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to be sensitive and flowing with the Spirit. And let's be a church that's doing what Jesus did. Amen. Praise God.